The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. We are going in search of trouble. Because, well, when you are an investor, trouble is all around you. And if you can spot it and weed it out, you will avoid it and be better off for knowing how to do it. And that's why we turn to David Trainer. David is the founder and president of New Constructs, a research firm based in Nashville, Tennessee, that examines securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they do this differently than most folks because they dig in at the footnotes level and then work their way up, trying to determine if the numbers you see on the balance sheet actually present a true picture of a company's financial well-being. Frequently, they find that what's in the balance sheet is misleading when you compare it to the things that they glean from the footnotes and the numbers they come up with thereafter. If things are misleading, you got a stock that is dangerous. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at newconstructs, and they blog about all of their danger zone picks, which means if you want more information on what we're talking about here, the website is where you're going to go to look. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Snap.
Danger, danger.
Oh, Snap. Snap is the parent company of Snapchat, and it's not actually in the danger zone this week because you can't buy it yet. It's in the danger zone as the big IPO. Like, this is the biggest IPO I think we're going to have seen since Alibaba floated in 2014. Obviously, you have been looking through the paperwork. Snap, the parent company of Snapchat, the very popular with kids internet service, is coming out with this IPO. What have you seen in the paperwork that makes you say Snap is a bad deal right out of the box?
Well, you know, first, they're reluctant to be transparent with investors and provide their IPO filing, or what's known as the S1, as early as most companies do before an IPO. And so that begs the question, what do they have to hide? We think what they have to hide is that they were pretty terrifically unprofitable, to the tune of a negative 123% profit margin that we saw in the last fiscal year. And so this kind of comes back to a couple of themes, right? We put IPOs in the danger zone a while ago because they're held to less stringent disclosure requirements than other companies, right? To facilitate more IPOs, right? Because that's the single highest profit margin business for investment banks. But it also comes back to paying attention to the details and doing real diligence. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking recently and had some op-eds published on what defines diligence. You know, in a fiduciary environment, which we think is coming no matter what happens with Trump. And last week it was rumored that Trump's going to write a letter to the DOL and say we don't need to be held to a fiduciary standard. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think any investor wants to make investment decisions without doing real diligence. And one of the things that required to do diligence is to look at the real numbers. Don't just trust the headlines. Don't just trust what Cramer's saying. Don't just trust what the masses are saying. Yeah, this is a big IPO. It's going to be popular. It's going to be well written about. And you're going to feel a lot of pressure to participate in it. It's the biggest IPO since Alibaba, just as you said. Make sure you don't fall for that. Look through the headlines, into the notes, into the details, and understand what it is you're buying. And if at the end of the day you're still happy with buying it, good for you. Then at least you know you've done your diligence. But don't just roll the dice, because that's not a good strategy for success in the long term, or really even in the short term.
This is one of those cases where everybody's excited because you got the new company with the recognizable name, etc. And at the same time, every time this happens, we wind up with IPOs that generate a lot of headline interest, but they also are thereby creating a lot of headline risk. How ugly is this going to be? I mean, is this an IPO that's even going to be capable of having the liftoff, the initial pop that we so often expect and want from an IPO?
Great question, right? Because it all kind of comes down to risk reward. I mean, you know, a lot of times you'll hear me say, it's not a bad company, it's just not a good stock, right? And I'm not saying necessarily that Snap and Snapchat are a bad company, but you could say that when you have a negative 34% return on capital and a negative 123% profit margin. But it comes back to valuation, right? Because you can have a bad company that's still a good stock. So the valuation, put simply, you know, the $25 billion that they're looking to value the company at, effectively means that Snap is going to be as profitable and grow as fast as Facebook did in its first 6 years of public life. So it's going to have to go from a negative 123% profit margin to positive 25% profit margin immediately, and then grow revenue by 54% compounded annually for 6 years. That's what Facebook did. Well, now, Facebook didn't start off at a negative 123% profit margin, but they were between 20 and 25% profit margin, and in the first few years out of the gate, grew revenues at 54% compounded annually for the first few years out of the gate. So either Snap is going to be another Facebook, or the market's going to grow enough to accommodate two Facebooks. Which is probably likely.
And we know that Facebook got off to a horrible start, and it took a long time before anybody got there. So this is one of those cases where, if nothing else, let this one percolate out, right? Don't jump in at the IPO. If this is going to play out for the positive, that's going to be a story that occurs months or years down the line.
Too much great performance is already priced in. Facebook, Google, these are once every decade, once every 25 years kind of companies. They don't just... it's just birthed out every night. So if you got one, good. Don't expect the next one to be the same. That's what they want to sell you on.
Right.
They want to sell you on another Facebook.
And that's why Snap, it's going to be ticker symbol SNAP. It's the parent of Snapchat. It's not yet out on IPO. Is in the danger zone before it ever reaches the market. David Trainer, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president and founder of New Constructs. For more information, newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, @newconstructs. Check it out for more information on all their danger zone picks.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.
Money Life will be right back with the Market Call.